Blog Talk Radio.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Tired of stretching out your paycheck to the last penny? Learn how to think like a millionaire, live within your means, and find true financial independence with Heather Wagenhals. Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Tune in to the midweek update for all the tips and tricks you'll need to manage your money. Here's your host, Heather Wagenhals.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. You are listening to the Midweek Update on Heather Wagenhals' Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this February, Wednesday the 24th, 2010, we are broadcasting from the HQ Real Estate and Investment Offices right here in Scottsdale, Arizona. And as a result of the CARD Act going into effect on Monday, today's show is going to be focused on specifically what are the details of the Credit Card Act and what do you need to know as a consumer about that. So thank you so much for joining us this week. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. The Unlock Your Wealth radio program broadcasts every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes for the single purpose of achieving financial independence. And how apropos that this falls on our Create Credit Week. So this CARD Act, having its final things going into effect this week, conveniently plays into this week's key in our Keys to Riches that we feature every week, which we have been doing since the beginning of the season. And now we're at Create Credit, and our timing is perfect. Thank you, Uncle Sam. So you've probably heard a lot about what's going on with the Credit Card Act and heard this, that, or the other thing. Some of it went into effect last year, and then the rest of it kind of went into effect on Monday. And simply, the Card Act of 2009, as it is called, is the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act. And it's supposed to make banks provide information in a more clear, understandable format and not be able to change the game on you without telling you what's going on first and upfront in plain language. So ideally, the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act is to do a variety of things. First, it's supposed to prevent unfair interest increases or changes in your terms. It's supposed to prohibit exorbitant and unnecessary fees, requires fairness in application and timing of card payments. It's supposed to protect the rights of the financially responsible credit card users. It's also supposed to provide enhanced disclosure of credit card terms and conditions, strengthening the oversight of the industry's practices, and it's also supposed to ensure adequate safeguards for young people, enhanced penalties, gift card protections, and encourages transparency in the credit card pricing. It's supposed to protect small businesses, and it's also supposed to promote financial literacy. That's an awful lot of things that it's supposed to accomplish in one fell swoop. So let's talk about those things for a moment and see which ones you are familiar with and maybe some you are not. In the Department of Preventing Unfair Interest Rate Increases and Changing in Your Terms, what they've done now is to prohibit arbitrary interest rate increases and universal default on existing balances. And simply put, universal default is when they do a review of your credit report, and if you have defaulted on another line of credit, no matter what your payment history is with this particular company, if you've always paid every bill early, not just on time, but early, and paid your balances off every month, and then all of a sudden you got a sharp interest rate increase, and they said it was because you triggered the universal default. Universal default says that it doesn't matter if you're late with us. If you're late with any of your creditors, we have the right to raise your interest rate. So that has now been prohibited. So there is no more universal default on your existing balances. So that's one thing that they brought to the forefront. Number two, they also require credit card issuers now, when they increase your interest rate, to periodically review and decrease your interest rate if it's indicated by the review. So let's say you were late in paying for a while and they raised your rate, but once you got back on target and had a good payment history, then they're supposed to be able to reduce your rate. Also, credit card issuers are now prohibited from increasing rates on a cardholder in the first year after a credit card account is open. So for the first 12 months, your credit card interest rate should remain the same. That's been outlawed to up that arbitrarily. And it also requires that promotional rates, when they give you, say, no interest or no payments for whatever, that period of time must be at least 6 months now. The next category is that it prohibits exorbitant and unnecessary fees. So what this act does now is prohibits credit card issuers from charging a fee to pay credit card debt, whether by mail, telephone, electronic transfer, or accept live services to make expedited payments. So if you have ever called in and said, oh my gosh, my bill, I forgot to pay it and I've got just a couple days left, and you try to call and a customer service person says, yes, I'll be happy to do that for a $15 fee, well, unless it's expedited, meaning it has to be posted same day, or a live telephone operator does it, they can't charge it. So if it's an automated system that you call into and you type in your account number and it's like 3 or 4 days before your bill is due, if you use the automated system, they are not allowed to charge you a fee anymore. And that gets quite expensive, and that means that that's that much less money going to your principal payment. So that's been a good thing that's been eliminated. It also prohibits credit card issuers from charging over-limit fees unless the cardholder elects to allow the issuer to complete over-limit transactions, and also limits over-limit fees on electing cardholders. So this is an interesting one. If you allow your credit card holder to process the transaction, so if you were at the limit and you try to create another transaction and push it over the limit, if you authorize your credit card issuer to authorize that payment and complete that transaction, even though you're out of your limit, then you are going to still be subject to those over limit fees. But if you say, no, I do not wish to be over limit, do not process, decline transactions that are over limit, and let's say because of an interest payment or an interest charge that is placed on your account, even though you are not willingly charging over your limit, but if your balance goes over your limit because an interest charge has accrued, they cannot charge you for that. So that's an important thing to know. If you see that over limit fee, did I allow them to process that over limit payment? If the answer is yes, then you're stuck with the fee. But if the answer is no and your balance rolls over the limit because of interest charges, then you shouldn't be charged for that payment. Now, it also requires penalty fees to be reasonable and proportional to the omission or violation. So you're not going to see these, $50 fees if you bounce a check or things like that. They're supposed to make the fees reasonable. I do not know what reasonable means because it's not articulately defined in the law, but the next credit card statement that you receive from your bank, it should be not a lot of that teeny tiny print on there. It should be in plain language for you to understand easily. So make sure that you read your credit card statement entirely and understand what happens if you make a mistake, if you don't pay your balance on time, if you don't pay the minimum payment. Find out what those charges are, because this is where so many people get themselves into trouble, is they don't understand the high cost of being tardy, and not just showing up late for appointments, but tardy paying your bills. And it can be excruciatingly painful financially for you, and it could be your downfall. So we need to be proactive when dealing with our credit cards. You need to find out what those fees are and make sure that you aren't creating a scenario where you're caught with, you know, a late fee or a penalty for some reason, because you have inactivity charges, you have too much activity charges, you've got late payment charges, you've got, you know, not paying the minimum payment charges, you've got all sorts of stuff, so you got to pay attention to what's going on. The next is, it enhances protections against excessive fees on low credit, high fee cards. Now, these are types of credit cards that are usually acquired by people who are starting over with their credit. If you have bruised credit and you can't get traditional credit without excessive fees, there are credit card lenders that will give you a small $200 or $300 limit credit card, but in order to obtain that card, you have to authorize some sort of processing fee, like $50 or $80. And so your balance starts off out of the gate at less than 50% when you first get the card, because you have to pay this fee to get it. They do it that way to make their money up front instead of doing a secured card. This is supposed to be a benefit to you because it's unsecured credit. But it's really hard to build yourself up when you start out down $80. Or $90 or more for those fees. So this is supposed to enhance protections against those excessive fees. Again, it doesn't have specific language as to percentages or required amounts, but, you know, it's a crapshoot when you have to reestablish your credit anyway. And so you just need to make sure that, you know, caveat emptor, buyer beware. We have so much more in store for you coming up on the Midweek Update on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Stay tuned for more right after this.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Karen Gurm here. You probably recognize me as your segment host for News by the Numbers. Did you know I'm also one of the certified NLP practitioners and a financial coach here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation? The most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside they knew they could easily become. Financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Or visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the Midweek Update. You are listening to Heather Wagenhals, Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this Wednesday, February 24th, I had to stop and think about what day it was. We are talking about the CARD Act that went into effect, the final terms of it that went into effect on Monday. Now, we left off talking about exorbitant and unnecessary fees. Also in the CARD Act, it requires fairness in application and timing of card payments. So it requires payments in excess of the minimum to be applied first to the balance with the highest rate of interest. So if you charged on your card and you had part of it on a promotional rate at like a 0%, and then you had another on another fixed rate during the regular term, it says that no, we're not going to pay off the 0% first. It's not at the discretion of the bank. The bank must now pay the highest interest rate portion of your card balance first when you make in excess of minimum payments. So that'll help you whittle down your balance faster, but it also will whittle down the accumulation of interest that you pay on that higher amount faster. It also prohibits issuers from setting early morning deadlines for credit card payments. So that means that you can have up until 5 p.m. on whatever day your payment is due, not in the morning, but in the evening of the business day. But if you are doing the Keys to Riches plan, your savings and spending plan will have you paying your bills early, not just on time, but early, so you don't have to deal with all of those issues. It also requires credit card statements to be mailed 21 days before the bill is due rather than the current 2 weeks that they have now. For the rights of the financially responsible card users, it prohibits interest charges on debt that's paid on time, which is a double cycle billing ban that they have put on. And if you pay before the interest charges have accrued and before that time has, you don't pay interest. So this avoids that double billing. It prohibits late fees if the card issuer delayed the crediting of the payment. So let's say you sent your payment in, it was postmarked on time, but for whatever reason the card issuer didn't process that payment and post it to your account, it prohibits them from lollygagging and not posting your payment so they can whack you that extra fee. It also requires that payments made at local branches of credit cards be credited the same day, not next day. So if you walk into a retail establishment where you have a credit card and you make a payment, they're required to make that payment that same day as opposed to posting it on the next business day. It also requires credit card companies to consider a consumer's ability to pay when issuing credit cards or increasing limits. That's going to be a little tricky for some people because it'll be difficult to get those instant credit when you can go to the register at Target or Victoria's Secret or a variety of these store merchant credit cards where they say, oh, well, apply now and get, 15% off right away. And so now, because they're going to require your ability to pay, it's like mortgage underwriting when you talk about the four layers of risk that we'll talk about coming up in Remember Real Estate. When we talk about ability to repay, it's not just about how much aggregate debt you have and what you say you make, because so many people fudge on their credit card applications. Who hasn't? Everybody kind of rounds up to the next, $10,000 or $20,000 in income. And don't say you haven't done it, because we've all done it and fudged and rounded up to what our income is. So now they might actually be requiring proof of income. Just like you have to apply for a mortgage or another type of bank loan, they probably want to see pay stubs. You know, I mean, they may go as far, depending on how big the credit line is that you're applying for. Maybe they want to see W-2s, but they're going to probably start requiring income verifications of some sort. So that'll be interesting on how credit card companies handle that going forward. But that's one of the things that they're going to have to do now. They can't just overload people with debt and just, ooh, give you a card, give you a card. Ideally, your credit card debt when underwriting for credit cards is usually no more than 10% of your annual income. But if you're fudging on your annual income when you apply for it, it's a moot point. It's really easy to get excessive debt. So don't be surprised if they start asking for paycheck stubs, bank statements, or even, you know, W-2s to qualify for credit cards now as a result of this. Lenders have to, you know, this legislation has to be beneficial for both parties. So you probably are saying, oh my gosh, why should I have to prove my income? But, you know, think about all the lenders that have been burned. You know, there were shareholders that were behind all of this bank money that went bad. Your money, my money, anybody that invested in stock markets, invested in banks, bought shares of stocks and banks, and bought the bond obligations and tried to invest for our future were defrauded. So this is a little bit of a protection for the bank. So instead of arbitrarily issuing you some credit, now they're getting a little bit. I think that this is very pro-consumer, this legislation. So this is one little bone that we're throwing to the bank saying, hey, you know what? If you can pay it back, just prove it, and I'll give you the money. I'll give you the credit line. And that's not a bad thing, is it? To demonstrate that you can do what you say you can do? I don't think so. And it's like one little bone that we throw the banks, considering all the concessions that we're asking them to make. Now, additionally, enhanced disclosures are requiring cardholders to be given 45-day notices of interest rate fee and finance charge increases. So you're getting like a month and a half notice that, hey, guess what? Numbers are going up. And it also requires issuers to provide disclosures to consumer upon card renewals when the terms have changed. Now, you typically get these in the mail, and they're all caught up in your statement, and most of us just throw them away. I always set them in the file, but I never look at them. But, and you should. You should be vigilant about what your terms are with your credit card, because this is the time, especially if you pay an annual fee to hold a card, is to determine whether or not this is a viable line of credit for you anymore. Maybe their terms are getting ridiculous. Maybe they're closing in their days. Maybe they're starting the interest accrual process sooner. All this stuff is disclosed. Most of us just don't read it. We just kind of throw it away or throw it in a file or something and forget about it. But you're going to need to start taking a look at all of these things, because this is where the rubber meets the road. And I believe the credit card issuers have been doing this in the past, but we have just chosen not to read it. But supposedly, the language is supposed to be plain English, so we all should be able to understand it. It also requires that issuers provide individual consumer account information and disclose the period of time and total interest it will take to pay off the card balance if only the minimum monthly payments are made. This is an interesting feature. I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out. But supposedly this is a standardized format for the credit card issuers to print in a section on their statements. And if you haven't had a wake-up call yet about what you're doing, carrying all of that bad debt, accruing no good debt moving forward to leverage yourself to create financial independence, this would be a great wake-up call. I'm looking forward to seeing the first statement in the bank from my bank, from my credit card, to see how they handle this disclosure. But ideally, it's supposed to be broken down in plain English, and you're supposed to be able to look at the different boxes, and it'll tell you how much you owe, what your interest rate is accruing at, And if you only made the minimum payment, how many months it'll take you to pay it off? And it's going to be pretty heart-wrenching for folks when they start seeing these numbers, because so many of us just take it with a grain of salt. Oh, yeah, everybody has debt. Well, not everybody, and not those that are financially independent. They don't make ineffective decisions, and we need to learn how to make more effective decisions when it comes to our purchases and living within our means. I think that the recent turn of events in the last couple of years of our economy have kind of started to demonstrate that, and if you haven't been able to wake up and smell the coffee yet, hopefully this will be a good wake-up call for you, seeing this on your statement in plain English, where you don't have to sit there and do the math and figure it out yourself. It'll be all spelled out for you. It also requires full disclosure in billing statements of payment due dates and applicable late payment penalties. It also strengthens the oversight of the credit card industry practices. The CARD Act requires each credit card issuer to post its credit card agreements on the Internet and provide those agreements to the Federal Reserve Board to post on its website. So there's no way anybody can say, I didn't know, or I didn't have access to, or they didn't tell me. They did in several ways what your rights and responsibilities are in regards to this credit obligation. It also requires the Federal Reserve Board to review the consumer credit card market, including the terms of credit card agreements and the practices of credit card issuers and the cost of availability of credit to consumers. And it also requires the Federal Trade Commission rulemaking to prevent deceptive marketing of free credit reports. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. Also, it ensures adequate safeguards for young people. This is really important, because this is where so many folks start getting into debt, and they are already kind of flying by the seat of the pants when you get out of high school and you're kind of on your own, roaming around a big college campus, and you want to be cool like the next guy. I know that I got sucked into that, having to be cool like the next guy, and I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I felt entitled to live that way, so I went and I charged everything because that's what I thought rich people did, and ho! That is not how it works. So, yeah, I had a little rude awakening by the time I was 23, and I was, you know, up to my eyeballs in debt, and didn't really understand exactly what I had done to myself. So what now the CARD Act is requiring issuers extending credit to young consumers under the age of 21 to make them obtain an application that contains the signature of a parent or guardian or other individual 21 years of age or older who will take responsibility for the debt, or proof that the applicant has an independent means of repaying any credit extended. So, again, you're going to have to probably whip out some pay stubs. It will also limit pre-screened offers to young consumers, and it prohibits the increases of credit limits on accounts where a parent, legal guardian, or spouse, or other individual is jointly liable unless the individual who is jointly liable approves the increase. So I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. Well, why would mom say, go ahead and increase my child's interest rate? I don't know. That one I don't understand. It also increases protections for students against aggressive credit card marketing and increases the transparency of affinity agreements between credit card companies and universities. It also increases existing penalties for companies that violate the Truth in Lending Act for credit card consumers. And here's an important one, gift card protection. It protects recipients of gift cards by requiring all gift cards to have at least a five-year lifespan and eliminates the practice of declining values and hidden fees for those cards not used within a reasonable period of time. I know I got stung on one of those. And I bought a gift card off of a friend trying to help that friend out, and then it turned out that they had held it for a year and hadn't bought anything with it, and the balance was going down. And I have yet to spend that credit card or that gift card too, so there you go. It also encourages transparency in credit card pricing, and it requires the GAO to study the impact of interchange fees on consumers and merchants, specifically the disclosure, pricing, and cost structure. If you notice, some establishments take certain credit cards over others because of this particular pricing. So is supposed to be a boon for merchants as well. And it protects small businesses, requiring the Federal Reserve to study the use of credit cards by small businesses and make recommendations for administrative and legislative proposals, establishing a Small Business Information Security Task Force to address information technology security needs of small businesses to help prevent the loss of credit card data, and yet to be explained to me how they plan to promote financial literacy, requiring a comprehensive summary of existing financial literacy programs and the development of a strategic plan to improve financial literacy education. But, you know, the only place I have found that are working on financial literacy are nonprofit organizations, like the ones for the Institute for Consumer Financial Education, which we featured here a few times on our show. So unless they're giving big grants to those folks, I don't exactly know how it's going to work out, but we'll see. So that's the CARD Act in a nutshell. If you have any questions or would like some further explanation, please email us at questions@unlockyourwealth.com, questions@unlockyourwealth.com. And if you haven't surfed over to the website in a while, we're always posting new information, tips, tricks, tools that you can use to help create financial literacy for you and your family. We've got an incredible show coming on this Saturday. It's our Create Credit episode. We have famous NASCAR race car driver Stephen Light joining us as we chronicle his pursuit toward financial independence. I'm Heather Wagenhals. You've been listening.
I've had it up to here, listening to a small segment of people trying to put down America. America's the greatest land on earth, and we ought to be proud of what we have. I'm proud of America. I'm proud of our people, and I'm going to prove it. We're American and damn proud of it.
Frankly, I'm getting a little ticked off.
Go to hell.